Hello, fellow baseball nuts. What a joy it is to have the World Series wrap-up party on the Johnny and Josh Show. Eric can't bear the thought of being in my company at the moment, and therefore I'm only inviting my dear friends, baseball brothers, Big Davey Lengel and Josh Chetwynd. Boys, thank you for joining me on this celebration tour.
I wish I was so Eric right now. He doesn't have to deal with it.
All right, I'll be a little more positive. So you started doing the TV show on 5 when 97 was your first year?
97, buddy, yeah. Started supporting the Braves in 96.
Right, and you had no clue about baseball until about 2020? Is that about right?
That's about right, yeah.
Okay, so you had this long period where you knew you liked the Braves. You didn't know why, but, you know, Chipper Jones, he's a handsome lad.
Chipper.
That is a long stretch of time.
It is
to not have your team win a championship. I mean, I know Dave Lengel has gone a vastly longer period of time, but, you know, tip of the hat to you, Gouldy. Since 1995, the Braves have been nada, and now you got your world championship.
They were in the playoffs like almost every year.
That makes it worse.
I agree with you. Yeah. JC, 100% that makes it worse.
You think it makes it worse?
Well, it does, particularly when you go out in the divisional series, which we did on a regular basis. So, yeah, the fact that we were so dominant and then could do nothing in the postseason. You've got to remember, I started supporting the Braves in 96, a year before we started doing Channel 5 baseball, as a result of a holiday in Atlanta with my dear friend Fifi and her husband, the big guy, Tristan, who's American. I introduced them. Their children wouldn't exist if it wasn't for me. And they took me to a ball game. She was working for ESPN at the time. So obviously Ted Turner. Oh, so we got great tickets. And he was the man. I sat there with him, loving it. It was a day game. He was telling me about the chip, dating a Hooters waitress. I loved it. I loved the whole thing. And that's the day I became a Braves fan. And as we know, they'd won the World Series the year before. So I'm buying into a successful team. They were dominant in the NL East. So I'm buying into a successful team. But the reality is I waited 25 years for this day, having supported them religiously ever since. So
they've lost more divisional series than the Mets have probably ever been in the playoffs in their entire franchise history. You're not going to get any sympathy over here. Let me tell you.
And then always break your heart. Gouldy, I sent you an article. I think I sent it to you too, Dave, that I wrote about a statistic I came up with called a lamentably unproductive mound performance. When you go, you pitch and you don't get a single out and you get pulled as a pitcher. It's like the ultimate ignominy of pitching. The team that had done that the most in all my research in the postseason, Atlanta Braves. They had pitchers that had that happen to them. So to be honest, the team, not the team that won this year, but that team is more aligned with you and your personality, Gouldy. From all that, so much promise. You're a lump. You have so much promise. You have so much promise, but you go out there and, you know, things happen and you're in the bed.
We all know I've taken failure to levels that very few people knew existed. So I accept that. My Twitter handle says totally unspoiled by failure. But I think that's what made this story so engaging. I mean, when you consider the criticism the Atlanta Braves have received by numerous people, one of which is sitting in on this podcast right now, when you consider that they were referred to in very negative terms, people have been negative about the World Series matchup because they're two teams that are perceived to be hated across the board by the baseball neutrals. And yet the reality is this was a team that came through enormous adversity and got on a roll and really got a whole state, let alone a city, behind them with real passion. And it was a great story. Particularly if you're a Braves fan, it was a great story. Take game one, Charlie Morton, what a legend.
I gotta say one thing, Gouldy, before you go there, which is I love that you build up that they're a team that is a nemesis for other people. That's not true. I think the general attitude towards the Braves is indifference by nonpartisans. They're not loved or hated. They have just been sort of ignored for a long time.
Ignored for 150 years.
Okay, well, I'm basing that opinion on what I read online, you know, and obviously, Google is the source of all great knowledge, is the font of great knowledge. And it seemed to me that the Braves have not been perceived to be a particularly popular side. It wasn't a case of indifference, but you're over there, you're across the pond, you probably know better. But the reality is, boys, if we just talk about the series, they won it obviously 4-2 over the Astros. Let's face it, the Astros came in as favorites. Just remind me, both of you, who did you predict to win the World Series?
I think I had the Braves in seven.
You did. Dave, you did. Despite the fact you're a Mets fan, you did. You said Braves in seven. I said Braves in six. JC, you and Eric were absolutely adamant the Astros were the better team and they were going to win the World Series. You've obviously had a convenient memory loss, but that was your prediction.
Yeah, well, I mean, the nature of baseball in the postseason, if you ever, I know you don't really listen when the person sitting across from you is talking over all these years. Like, it's just, it's like a Charlie Brown special to you. It's just wah, 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 wah. One thing I've always said about the postseason is the nature of it is incalculable. That, you know, we can make predictions, and I outpredicted you, I know, in previous series in this postseason. But it really doesn't matter because it's such a short time period and so many things happen that are just, you know, so impossible to be able to really nail it down. Of course, you're going to choose the Braves, Goldie. I mean, because your heart's there. And I respect that because I didn't choose the Red Sox.
Hey, look.
Hey, but you say
Josh's
that.
Point, hey, to Josh's point, the golden rule of baseball is that any one team can beat another team at any time. I mean, that's why even the worst teams in baseball have 50, 60 wins. So
yeah, they would want out every
seven-game series. No question anybody can win, even if the Houston Astros are the better team, and they probably were.
But, I mean, but this is such a silly conversation. The bottom line is they won, and they played great, and they deserved the championship over the course of this postseason. So, and again, my one issue with the Braves that could have really changed this is they shouldn't have had home field advantage against the Dodgers. That was just a complete, that is a mistake in the way baseball does its business.
I disagree.
I know you disagree. We've had this disagreement already, which is that I don't care if you win a division, if you win 88 games compared to 106.
Then you want NBA. Then you want an NBA
setup. I think that's much more reflective and much more equitable.
You can't play 162 games without somebody getting a prize for finishing first. You just
can't. You get the prize. You win your division, but then you realign in the postseason. You don't get the beautiful plush toy for winning 88 games compared to winning 106 games.
This is a conversation for another time. I want to say something nice about the Braves. Can I say
nice
about the Braves?
Go on, Dave.
I think one of the biggest reasons that people like myself fell folly to the Braves throughout the playoffs is because I really think this is one of those times in history where you have to recognize the Braves as kind of a tale of two teams, really. It's easy to look at the standings and say 88 win team. They were fortunate to make the playoffs in a season where there was nobody else in the National League East who could win more than 88 games. And that is a bit of luck. That's a fact. I mean, the Braves got very, very lucky this year. Nobody could win more than 88 games. But the fact of the matter is they did rebuild their outfield. They did gear up for the playoffs. They went 12-2 down the stretch, and they just were not the same team that went, you know, about 500 or under 500 in the first half of the season. They were a totally different ball club, and they were hotter than shit when they got in the playoffs, and they made people pay. You know, it wasn't fair of people like me to look at the team and say 88 win ball club, because it was just a different ball club. The only thing the same was the name on their chest.
Well, that's not 100% true, Dave, but I do agree with you in the sense that if anyone deserved the MVP for this all series for the postseason, it's Alex Anthopoulos, because the work that he did to put this team together, and Snicker for taking all these various new parts and placing them in just the right position to succeed. Those are the guys more than anyone who deserve credit for this. And to me, that's actually the one appealing part of the Braves, that, you know, a team can be put together like this when you lose, you know, Acuña and you have all the other injuries. I mean, a lot of teams had injuries, but not one of the best players in the league and to still get there. To me, that was the one positive, appealing part to the Braves.
See, actually, it's interesting you should bring in Brian Snitker, because I ended up writing an article about him a week ago for a newsletter that I do. And obviously, as a result of that, I had to do some research and learn a lot more about the Braves manager than I knew before. And it is an extraordinary story. And it's perhaps part of the whole fabric of this story that I find so easy to embrace. The fact that he's a really good guy and he's a proper baseball guy, and to think that when he got the full job as Braves manager, he was living in his daughter's basement. You know, this is not a guy that's been, you know, just an endless story of success. This is a guy who's only achieved after 30 something plus years of commitment to the cause, who bleeds Braves blood, who's been part of the organization, who's been working his way up through the ranks and then put down in the ranks and never given up. You know, lesser men would have said enough's enough. I've been a part of this organization. I got up to third base manager in the, you know, in the big leagues, and then I'm back down in the minor leagues again. I'm not having this. You know, I'm not going to be relegated in this way. And he took it on the chin every single time. This was a Braves guy through and through. And what he did in terms of creating that family ethos, and I'm a great believer in the success in sport is about ethos. Obviously, I need to have one rugby reference. Bath Rugby at the moment have a terrible ethos. There is no family team concept there, and that's why they're struggling. And what you saw in that Braves dugout was a team of some really mixed characters, but by Jove, it was abundantly clear they were all pulling in the same direction. They all absolutely really liked each other. And when you see what's been happening with Dansby Swanson when he was giving a speech at the big parade, saying, you know, sign up Freddie, give him whatever he needs, you know, there was your team leader. There's so many different parts, but for me, Brian Snitker was the glue. You read the story about the fact that there was a question mark about whether he was going to be given the job full time, having finished off, I think it was the 2016 season as interim manager, and it was Freddie representing the senior players that said, we want this guy to have the job. And that made the difference.
We talked about this in the last show, exactly the story you're telling. And it was Nick Markakis too, who also came up and did this. Honestly, him being the manager of the Braves is the only thing more improbable than the Braves winning the World Series this year, because he does not fit the mold for any of the type of managers that most teams are looking for. They're looking for someone young who, you know, has that personal rapport and can, you know, talk to players on their level.
Great communicators.
Right. The great communicators who have analytic backgrounds, or you're looking for the older guy, right? The one who has, you know, the Tony La Russa track record, the Dusty Baker track record. He fits into neither of those categories, but he fits into a third way, which is a guy who worked in the minor league system for so long and worked with these players when they were coming up. And it's interesting the relationship you have with a player when they're not great. And if you can maintain that relationship with the player when they become great, you have a galvanizing bond that's unique that you don't see that most managers have when they get them where they're already in the big leagues. Snitker had that unique bond with these players that, again, improbable, unlikely, and difference making.
But do you also accept, JC, that he made decisions during the series that actually worked, really did work? He made good baseball decisions. I mean, you had Albies, who I'm a massive, massive fan of, who's such an incredibly excitable individual, but such a clear leader in that team, and his enthusiasm is infectious. And yet he was struggling. He was struggling to play. He'd never batted, I think, lower than fifth the whole season. And because of his struggles, they put him down into the seven hole. And what was his first at bat? Bang, he got on base. He got a single. And it was those little decisions that he made when he sort of just tinkered, and what he did with the bullpen, which was absolutely phenomenal, how he handled game one starter Charlie Morton fracturing his right fibula in a ridiculous situation, such a ridiculously unlucky scenario, not just for Charlie but for the Braves, and yet they found a way. And don't forget, they were in Houston in that game, and getting one of those two games, in my view, was absolutely vital. And they still came away with a 6-2 lead despite losing their ace after what was it, three and a half innings. You know, I mean, that says an awful lot about, you know, fighting through adversity. What was the secret? How did they keep coming back from what was a season full of adversity? Losing Acuna, losing, you know, Soraka at the beginning of the season. I mean, massive problems to overcome.
Goldie, you've just rambled into two different issues. The first issue is Snitker and whether he managed really well. And I am very cautious to overanalyze manager decisions in the postseason, which we tend to really do, and say if a manager loses, we really look at these focused elements and how bad that manager is and how stupid that manager is. And when it works out, they're brilliant. And to be honest, again, short series, I wouldn't necessarily say he did so much better than other managers. It did work out, so you tip the hat.
He was fine.
He was good. Yeah, he was good. And
he was fine. The only remotely controversial thing that happened was lifting Ian Anderson after 52 pitches. I mean, that was basically the only thing you could possibly talk to him about the whole series.
Well, so and that's another talking point, right? Which is where baseball's going, that, you know, a guy can be throwing a no-hitter and you pull him. Then
I don't even worry about the no-hitter. I'm just thinking 52 pitches. You could at least go batter to batter with the guy.
Right, but I mean, that's just sad for the attractiveness of the sport. I get it. Like, you know, the argument is very easy to make. You know, you don't go three, because it's not about the pitch count, Dave, right? It's about going three times through the batting order. I get like the analytics of it, but it's a real reflection of why we're losing some of our love for the
smart Rams. Isn't always entertaining. That's what it comes
exactly. The second point you made, Goldie, about the injuries, no doubt. And I said this at the top, you know, Acuna's injury, that's amongst the top individual injuries, but you start mentioning other ones. Every team has, I mean, the Dodgers got decimated. And as I said to you before, I think one of the factors isn't whether you have the injuries or not, it's when the injuries came. And for the Dodgers, they came at the absolute worst time. You know, the weekend before the playoffs started with Muncy, Kershaw getting, you know, injured right at that point. And they were more impacted by their injuries for the postseason. But, you know, again, this is, we could go around and around about why this is improbable, why this is great, why it's not. Just tip the hat. Whatever the reason was, they won it. I feel great for Snitker. Anyone who's ever seen the movie Bull Durham, he was literally the Durham Bulls manager around the time that Bull Durham came out. Like, he was that guy. I mean, it's a guy who's just a journeyman. Freddie Freeman and his all those years he had with the Braves, and that he gets a championship. There's a lot of reasons to just be happy for him. But, you know, trying to build it up into legendary.
Not legendary.
Great.
Let me just tell you something. This series, I understand Johnny Gould is going to sit here and be very happy, and he's going to, you know, have a big smile on his face, and he should. His team won the World Series. I mean, this is what it's all about, right? But for the baseball neutral, this series has had no juice. I'll give you, there was one moment in this series where I thought, oh, this is great. We got a crowd going wild. It was game four in the seventh inning, and Jorge Soler hit that home run. And, you know, there was juice in the ballpark, and it was one of those line drives that barely cleared the wall and left, and it was a great shot, and there was some energy there, and you could get a little fired up about that as a neutral. But after that, the moments were few and far between, and there was nothing going on. I mean, there was nothing, especially when you went back to Houston. And, of course, it's the, you know, the last team to win the World Series in their home ballpark was the 2013 Boston Red Sox. So it always takes away from a little bit of the juice when the team on the road wins. And amazingly, baseball hasn't had a team win on the road for, we're going into the ninth year now.
Okay. Well, let's address this. Okay. So you've got game one, your starter gets his leg broken. You come back and you still win it. And you're playing away against the divisional title winners. So, and the pre-game, pre-series favorites. So that's a hell of a comeback. Okay, game two was a bit of a blowout. That may not have been exciting. Game three, we get to Atlanta. The atmosphere in Atlanta, Truist Park, was unbelievable in every single game. It was unbelievable. Braves win 2-0. For the purists, they threw a no-hitter through seven innings. For the purists, it was unbelievably exciting. It was a 2-0 game. Let me just finish. Game four, it's a one-run game, and the Braves come back from trailing in game front of their home crowd, and they go ballistic. Game five, the Braves hit a grand slam in the opening inning, in the bottom of the first, and yet still lose the game. So there were tots and turns, and, you know, even though it didn't go the way that I wanted it to go, even that was a game where I'm sitting on the edge of my seat watching it as a game, because it wasn't just, you know, it started and that was it. It was obvious how it was going to finish. It wasn't obvious. Well, you know, one minute the Braves are up 4-0 in the bottom of the first, and the next thing you know, they're trailing three innings later. And the inning when it all fell apart, and what was it? I think it was Soler through to an empty base, and you're like, what the hell are you doing? I mean, there was so much going on to entertain any baseball fan.
Yeah, 5 out of 10, Goldie. but you talk about the no hitter, and I think what diminished that from being as exciting as you were indicating was taking out Anderson, to get back to that point. Because once you're going to start having a collaborative no hitter, it starts to lose.
Nobody
lose
cares about for. Joint no hitters.
Exactly. Yeah, but who cares about a no hitter? Who cares about a no-hitter? As a Braves fan, what we cared about was a manager who had his absolute postseason ace, and that's exactly what Ian Anderson is, 4-0 with the most ridiculous ERA when you consider he's only been in the majors for two seasons. This guy was going to be going on Game 7, if it went to Game 7, on full rest, as healthy as anything, having not been exerted in that game. Great management that was.
He's been pitching five innings all year.
You said the four words that differentiates the conversation we're having, which is as a Braves fan. Sure, as a Braves fan, I get it. I, you know, again,
but surely as a baseball,
you enjoyed it.
But surely as a baseball man, How come the two of you don't recognize actually that was a great decision? Because the big difference between the Braves and the Astros going into game six was that they were absolutely shot to pieces. Their bullpen was shot to pieces. But you guys have been, but I am listening. You guys have been critical about decisions.
That's not what happened, Goldie. Goldie, Dave and I said, great, smart baseball decision. We said that. Dave and I both agreed on it.
Rewind the tape. Like the,
I wanted to see batter to batter in the sixth.
I said it was a smart decision. As Dave basically summed up what I said, which is smart baseball's decision, but not the most exciting baseball. I agree with that 100%. It was clearly the results indicate it was a good decision, but it didn't make it attractive.
Okay, well, guys, we're obviously going to have to agree to disagree on this one. Let's just let's round this conversation up with just a couple of other points. I have very clear memories from previous World Series when we were doing it on television as part of the whole Channel 5 thing from 97 to 2008, that there were occasions, and both of you said this to me, where it's all about momentum. There's a sense that it's meant to be. Now, I'm going to give you something that's been doing the rounds on social media that is unbelievable. As we know, we lost Hammer Hank. We lost Henry Aaron, the still, for my money, the man with the...
Is this the Vin Scully stuff?
This is, yeah. So we know his number was 44, which was put in the grass in the outfield in Atlanta in the home park. And the Braves were 44 and 44 when Ronald Acuna was injured. 44 and 44, that was our record. They won 44 games before the All-Star break. They won 44 games after the All-Star break. They won the World Series on the 44th week of the year. And they played the whole season with 44 displayed on the center field grass, honoring Hammer Hank. Is there a sense? I mean, yes, you can just say it's coincidence. But, you know, in honor of that great man, probably the greatest Brave of all time, there was a sense of divine inevitability about this World Series.
So are you alluding to supernatural, something supernatural taking place? Is that what this is?
I'm alluding to whatever floats your boat, Dave, whatever your religion is, that there was something, a higher power at work here, that perhaps there was an inevitability that there was about this Braves win. Because when you look at the story, when you look at why, and obviously this was the year that we lost him, that he passed away. And there just seems to be that we had an angel looking down on us. And you look at those numbers, it's an extraordinary coincidence.
Bless your heart.
That great coincidence.
I mean, it's a great coincidence. That's awesome.
That's it. I mean, what do you want me to say?
Exactly.
What do you want me to say?
Are you not
Hank Aaron up there pushing buttons? Is that what you want me to say?
Because Hank Aaron, if Hammery Hank's up there, I would like him to stop thinking about the Braves, maybe world peace or like.
Yeah, we have other problems.
Like,
Hank.
You know, it's just not the best choice. For
and by the way, what are the winning lottery numbers, Hank? You know, I'll take anything I can get.
It's a lot of great numbers. It's fun. It's fun. If you're a Braves fan, man, you know, like you, Gouldie, just luxuriate in the moment.
Did you see the footage of the parade when they got back to Atlanta?
Nobody looks at the parade, Gouldie, except Braves, the people that won. No one cares.
You know what my
parade.
Favorite player was on that team, though?
Who?
Terrence Gore, who won a World Series ring. He has not had a major league at bat since 2019.
Yeah.
And he was on the roster, and this is his second ring. The guy's played like 100 big league games over like 10 seasons or something. Cause he's, you know, he's a speed specialist. Do they, you know, teams bring in the postseason? Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
Teams.
Yeah. Well, the footage that I was referring to was, I think it was Tyler Matzek out of the relief bit, the relief pitcher, who obviously was a big part of the success. And he got off the bus, which he wasn't allowed to do. And there's some great footage of him running alongside the bus. And this policeman tries to arrest him, thinking he is some fan who had sort of broken through the cordon. And it's all being filmed. And he's going, no, I'm, you know, trying to explain who he is. And clearly this Atlanta cop doesn't have a clue who he is, doesn't recognize him. And he has to show him his ID. And he says, get back on the bus. But there was this wonderful footage of being arrested at his own parade.
That's because nobody knows who ball players are. That's part of baseball's
problem. Certainly not middle relievers.
No, not middle relievers. Not
can I just say this? Josh, you made me want to look up Gore.
Yeah.
The guy has played, ready? 102 games in his entire career.
I know. Yeah.
It's amazing. And he won two World Series, but he also played in the World Series in 2014.
Yep. The one thing that it's a big takeaway, if you want to sort of sum up the World Series a little bit, it's something that we've learned over the last few seasons. And I just think it's going to become increasingly a part of the game. And we have to take it for better or for worse. everyone who's read Moneyball, you know, Moneyball is not about on base percentage. It's about undervalued markets and trying to figure out who can you get the most out of money wise to have the greatest level of success. And the one thing we learned, and I think that the Rays are the first team really to lean into this, but the Braves did this as well too, which is if you could construct a fantastic bullpen, it will cover a lot of holes on your team. You know, especially now where we're doing, I mean, we're having World Series games that are bullpen by committee, full games in the World
and it's
Series.
So bad.
Yeah. I mean,
it's so bad to watch. It's horrible.
I mean, this is one of the issues, right? Which is attractive versus smart baseball. But you saw that with this Braves team, right? Fantastic bullpen, much like the Rays almost got all the way there with less offense last time around, last year. And that's what we're seeing a movement towards. The, you know, underpriced arms, they can, if you get five of them, five guys, and you pay them each $3 million, which is very little, $15 million payroll, and that can almost carry your team. Now, the regular season's a little different. You got to sneak your way in. But once you get there, if you've got that, it appears to be more and more difference-making.
Can I say one more good thing about what Snitker did, actually, now that you're talking about bullpen? The fact that they kept Minter out of a game and they kept him fresh for the next game, and I think that really helped them. You know, conserving that bullpen with Minter, that was another, and that's the way to play. Like Josh said, that's the way to play now.
And to be honest, for a long time, you know, we live in an era of baseball, you know, where metrics are king, right? The analytics. The one area that everyone has said is the most difficult area to identify an analytic to be able to determine success or failure of a certain
managers.
Individual is managers. Exactly.
There's still no statistic for managers. I wrote about that years ago. There still isn't.
And it's really hard. And so the one place that I know managers really play the large role as someone who's had to do this before is determining when pitchers are pulled. So it is really the one area where, you know, can be difference making. And I go back to what I said before, which is that, you know, you're only vindicated when it works out, and you're only a goat when it doesn't. And it's hard to know when that's going to happen so much, you know, you're playing percentages and all that. But to your point, Dave, Snitker made some good calls.
I'm going to throw in some lovely stats for you guys. This was a great tweet that I picked up on. 5 years ago on this date, Jorge Soler won a World Series ring with the Cubs, talking about obviously the Braves winning 5 years back. He won one with the Cubs. And on that journey, he beat Will Smith and the Giants 3-1. He beat Jock Peterson and the Dodgers 4-2 and Josh Tomlin and the Indians 4-3. And tonight, he wins a World Series ring with each of them as Braves teammates. Isn't that fantastic?
Tomlin, he got released like yesterday.
I know.
And didn't even play in the postseason struggle. But
I want to mention a couple of other things. Superstars. Max Fried, as we know, had a couple of really tough outings. He was our ace. And yet in the game clincher, he's now the first starter ever to have 6+ strikeouts, 0 walks, and allow 0 runs in a potential World Series clincher game. First starter ever to do that in a potential World Series clincher game. So that is amazing. Freddie Freeman, what a difference. What a leader. What a performance. Stood up and was the glue on the field if Snitz was the glue off it. And this is the last thing I'm going to mention to you guys in terms of the stories that have just caught my heart. This is something Snitker said. Snitz said, as we now, all us Braves fans, we call him Snit. You're not allowed to because you're not Braves fans.
I'm not.
Snit,
don't worry about it.
While holding the World Series trophy, this is what he said, and I love this. I can't wait to show this to Bobby. And of course, he was referring to his dear friend Bobby Cox, the Braves legendary.
The most interesting part of this all, Gouldie, right, is that this team, as we've outlined, was put together in the second half of the year, large portions of it.
Yeah.
You're going to have players coming back now. You know, how do you recalibrate, keep the parts that worked and believe in them continuing to work, and then jettison maybe pieces that made a big difference in this run, but you don't think are part of it? It'll be very interesting to watch the Braves in the coming years.
Well, you look at the outfield, which is the obvious reference, you know, which we had to rebuild due to injury and poor performance. There's just too many parts to fit in, you know, obviously with Acuna coming back. So personally, I just hope of the free agents we picked up, I want us to keep Soler. I want us to keep Rosario. Obviously, we've got Acuna coming back. I think Duval's already gone, isn't he? He's already refused the option that was offered him. So whether
what's Jock Peterson? What's his?
I think he's gone as well. I think he's gone.
He's got a ring 2 years in a row. He won with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know, Soler, by the way, I don't know if you guys have seen his overall playoff numbers. He has incredible playoff numbers across. Not a tiny sample, 26 games.
You know,
with he has an OPS of over 1,000.
Yeah.
Well, the Anorak said there's no such thing as clutch. I have so disagreed with that throughout my career. I feel there are players who are able to lock in the games that matter. 100%. Statistically,
he's one of those guys, clearly.
I mean, I've always been better with an audience when the pressure's on. That's been my remit. So
well, why do closers suck when they come in without save opportunities?
Absolutely. So
there's a certain juice that comes in there.
Yeah. There's an adrenaline.
David Langell's word of the day is juice.
Juice. and we shouldn't drink juice because it's empty calories, as we know.
Well, sadly, guys, we're running out of juice and we're running out of time because all we wanted to do was talk World Series baseball. Quick mention before we go, because we've got loads of Astro listeners as well. I mean,
poor Dusty. Poor Dusty time.
Well, that's the first obvious one. Now lost two World Series and obviously too good a manager for that stat to continue for too long. He's obviously going to stay. I mean, they're still a very good side. I mean, I see them being very competitive next year.
Well, do they bring Correa back?
Well, they've already put out an offer, 5 years, $160 million.
Oh, have they? So, okay.
Yeah, they just that kind of leaked out there. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, but I think he's rejected it, hasn't he?
Has he? I know it came out yesterday.
He better take what he can get now because, things are hitting the fan in the labor. So I would take the highest salary I could get right now and lock that in. That's what I would do.
Yeah. And I don't know. Was Verlander offered a qualifying offer?
Haven't seen any reference.
That's the other question. Is Verlander going to come back? Is he going to come back with the Astros?
Yeah.
They could use him because they really missed shutdown pitching. They just didn't have that go-to guy in the playoffs this year at all. They had nothing going on.
Well, Queedy was pretty good. But no, I agree across the board elsewhere.
One that scared you, though. No one was like, we're going to face.
No Verlander, absolutely.
Well, and just consistency, too. Like Valdez had a great outing, but just overall didn't.
Yeah. Question mark for you both. Are people going to hate the Astros as much as they have done for the last two seasons? Have they earned a bit of begrudging respect for their performances? No. People are still going to be bashing those trash cans. What do you think?
I honestly think it's going to just dissipate over time. It's going to be
but that time isn't here yet.
Right, but my point is, it's going to decrescendo, which is it won't be as bad as last season, next season, and the following season. It'll just continue to
over time, and they will not be as good. You know, they'll fade. Their team will break down, and then it'll be
a different team. But you're always going to have knuckleheads looking for a reason to, you know.
And you know, guys, I have to say, obviously, I've never watched as much Houston baseball as I have done in the last couple of weeks. But, I always knew he was a good player. I didn't realize just how good Jose Altuve. My God, what a good player that man is.
The buzzer beater.
The buzzer beater. Yeah. Well, of course, he's at the core of the whole story, isn't he? But by Jove, I don't think
he gets very embarrassed when you take his shirt off. He doesn't like that.
Oh, okay.
Is that right? He's quite small, isn't he?
No, the whole point with that was that there's a conspiracy theory that he had a buzzer on him. Someone tried to take off his shirt.
Yeah, don't take off my shirt in front of all these people. I'm an athlete.
And the real reason he didn't want to take it off was because it was going to show.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, I am so tired of conspiracy theories, but that's for another show.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're going to do a wrap up of the whole season. And obviously, we can't do that without Eric. So we're going to find a date when all four of us are available. So that's probably next weekend. But I really appreciate you giving up your time tonight. Just one final thought. Try not to be too rude on the World Series and, of course, the World Series champions that are the Atlanta Braves. David, what would you like to say to sum things up?
Nothing. We sat here. We took you. Look, you deserve what you get what you get, which is the time to boast and brag about your Braves, and deservedly so. You're a fan of a World Series champion. That's something I haven't known since the age of 12. And I'm hopeful that one day the Mets will, first of all, get a working, functional front office with real people in positions, and secondly, to finally win a World Series. But congratulations to you for now.
JC?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the softie between me and Dave, so I'm just really happy for you, Goldie. I mean, I've known you now for, 20 years, and you're insufferable in so many ways that seriously, I think I would laminate a card, but then I'd have to keep on making new ones that I'd have to relaminate. But I appreciate your loyalty to the sports teams that you care deeply about, whether it's Chelsea or the Braves. And so when you get that moment, I'm happy for you, buddy.
Very kind. Very kind. My only thought, guys, is I think there are a lot of really good people involved in this organization, and I'm just happy to see good things happen for good people. That's my final thought on the Atlanta Braves, the World Series champions of 2021. Okay, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you for listening. As always, do check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, Johnny and Josh, The Johnny and Josh Show, and of course, Big Davey Lengel, who will get a name check at some stage when we do a rebrand, hopefully next season. But that's it from us. We've got one more show, so do look out for that and join us for the season wrap-up on The Johnny and Josh Show. Thanks for listening. Till next time, take good care.